Where do you turn in times of trouble? A family member, a friend, a pastor, or counselor? Well, these are all good options, but on Through the Bible, we'll hear about where our real security comes from. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm excited to welcome you aboard the Bible bus as we set off for our adventure in Psalms 46 to 48. But first, let's begin with a few letters from our mailbag. Here's a letter from Ken in Alamo, California. I've listened to your broadcast since 2000 when I found you during my commute. I've been listening ever since. I became a Christian many years ago and am delighted to be able to have daily Bible study with Dr. McGee. Today I mainly listen on the internet and bought a solar Bible bus to listen on the go. I retired 12 years ago and have made these studies an important first event of the day. I've also joined the World Prayer Team. After multiple five-year trips through the Bible, I've started to cement ideas and concepts in my old gray head. I joined a few community Bible studies and find often, when I open my mouth, Dr. McGee comes out. I have to qualify my remarks by referencing him. Several of the folks in my studies have now jumped aboard the Bible bus as well. Thanks for your continuing program. It is a stable refuge in the sea of change today. Well, thanks for writing to us, Ken, and for encouraging people to join us. We're so glad that you join us each day. To find out more about the Solar Bible Bus that Ken mentioned and the many other convenient ways that we make Dr. McGee's teaching available, you need to visit us at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Next is an email from Gary in Lincoln, Nebraska. I listened to Dr. McGee back in the early 1980s. Not a believer at the time. The broadcast was on KGBI Omaha during my lunch break. I had not heard the Bible taught in this manner, and although I worked in a Christian organization, God's Word was not made a foundation in this way. Years went by, I left that organization, and still had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Though my Bible knowledge had increased, and the seed was planted, 30 years later, the ups and downs and frustrations of life brought me to a place where it was clear that I didn't have the answers or the strength I needed to continue on. I knew the only prayer God would hear was my prayer of repentance and my earnest desire to know if He and His Word could be made real to my heart. He answered and had mercy on me, a sinner. One of the first things I did after bowing before the Lord was find Dr. McGee online. There was my old lunch companion from 30 years previous, still strong in the Word. What a privilege to hear the daily teaching, to have God's Word come alive in my life. How wonderful to take this journey again, and now with the understanding of the Spirit, to firmly plant God's truth in my heart and mind. I now give to this work financially and participate in the World Prayer Team. It is such a blessing. I do thank our gracious and merciful Lord for His ministry, that it was there when I was lost in sin and planted the seeds of faith that are now growing in my life, dormant 30 years, then watered with the tears of repentance. How I enjoy this life in Christ and am grateful to experience it with my Through the Bible family of faith. Isn't that an encouraging letter? Praise God for that. His Word doesn't return void, even if it takes 30 years to produce fruit. So thank you, Gary. Thank you for your email and for your faithfulness in praying and providing for this ministry. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and the power that it has to change lives. If they haven't already, we pray for all those listening that they would take the step of faith and bow before Your throne today. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come here in the 46th Psalm, beginning with it, I should say, with a little cluster of three psalms, and they are all a prophetic picture of the kingdom that's coming on this earth. Remember Psalm 45, a great millennial psalm, speaks of the coming of the king to establish his kingdom here upon this earth, the millennial kingdom. So now these three psalms set before us this kingdom. And this is the reason that today more attention should be given to the psalms, that we get a proper understanding of them. Now, this 46th psalm here is a wonderful psalm. It's one that God's people have turned to, and rightly so. It's called, by the way, if you will notice the heading of it, "To the Chief Musician for the Sons of Korah, a Song upon Alamoth." And this song upon Alamoth, the word Alma is used in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Now, evidently, Alamoth means virgins or maidens' voices. And it would refer us, I think, actually back to another great song of deliverance and of victory that was sung back when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And we're told that they sang the song of Moses. But who led the singing? I don't think Moses was a much better song leader than I am, and I'm no good at all. But the one who led the singing was his sister. And here we read in verse 20 of Exodus 15. Now, that wonderful song, and I can't go back and look at it, but when they crossed the Red Sea, they sang this song. Who led it? Verse 20 now of Exodus 15. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." So that the song leader on that occasion and the soloist was Miriam, the sister of Moses. Now we have here another great redemption. And the redemption at the Red Sea was not the redemption by blood. That took place when they came out of Egypt. They were redeemed the night that the death angel passed over, when the blood of the Lamb was put on the doorposts. And they were redeemed then by power. But when they crossed the Red Sea, it was redemption by power. And the enemies that had troubled them, they were destroyed. And here you have, some think it's really a soprano solo. It really hits a high note. Let me read now, beginning with verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, we need always to put this psalm in here where it belongs, after the 45th. And it goes along with this little cluster, 46, 47, and 48. I don't think we have any more right to take this psalm out and look at it separately without looking at it in the setting in which it is, any more than that little boy that misquoted Scripture. And he was asked to give a definition of a lie. What is a lie? And the little fella put together two scriptures that were totally unrelated, but he got them together. He says, "A lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of trouble." You can see he misinterpreted Scripture. We smile at him, but what about the folk that lift this psalm out, the old psalm? I think they're more guilty of misinterpreting Scripture, by the way. And so we have here a wonderful solo. It's not the blues, it's the hallelujah chorus. And it's not rock music, but those that were on the rock. And you have, I think, in the first three verses, the sufficiency of God. And this is a very wonderful section that we have here, by the way. And I think that I should read several verses. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now, here is a very wonderful statement. And somebody says, "Well, how do you know whether it's true or not?" I say the Bible said it. Somebody will come along and say, "Well, it's a theory, and you don't know whether this is true or not." Well, my friend, I've tried it. And we're told here that the Lord is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And we're told, "Taste of the Lord and see if it's good." The Lord Jesus said, "If any man will do his will, he'll know of the doctrine, whether it be of God." Now, you can count on God in time of trouble and find he's there. Christians do not learn today to trust God in time of trouble. And the reason is they do not know about the sufficiency of God. They've never found him sufficient. We need a God that doesn't fail us. Circumstances under which God is sufficient, though the earth be removed. And that's a most inopportune and extreme circumstance. Has the earth ever been taken out from and under you? Have you ever been suspended in space? Most people think they're the only ones who ever had trouble. But God's people find God sufficient in time of trouble. And that's what he's saying here. This psalm was Luther's favorite. He probably wrote the great Reformation hymn, the hymn, Ein feste Bergist und sehr gut. That's very poor German, by the way, but it means a mighty fortress is our God. He had this in mind. Here, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. And men down through the centuries has found out that that is true. Now, again, we come to something quite wonderful. In verse 4 through 7, we have the security of God. Will you notice this? There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now, some say this is poetry. It's a song, that it's figurative. It's a symbol. The river's a reality. And I believe that we have here a river that speaks of the supply and refreshment that God gives today. And that river is God's Word here. And you have a river mentioned in the Word of God in a very definite way over in Ezekiel, a river that flows out from the throne of God, and that there's great blessing. This river's as real as the Mississippi River or any other river. And we are told that the blessed man, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And yonder in the New Jerusalem, we see that he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And the Lord Jesus said to that woman at the well, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture saith, out of his inmost being will flow living waters. What a wonderful statement we have here. And God is in the midst of her. What a picture we have in that. And I keep on reading now. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And Selah, stop looking, listen again. This is very important for us to consider here. Now the judgment floods have spent their force. They're gone. And now flows forth this stream of living water, a stream that Ezekiel saw, and Zechariah speaks of it. And we find that it's in the book of Revelation. And here is this wonderful, glorious river that supplies the needs of God's saints. And they're all planted right by it. Now, we come to this final division, verses 8 through 11. We have the supremacy of God. And here he appeals to what would be, in one sense, the lowest level that God appeals to man on, and that is, of course, creation. Now, there's a reason for that here. We are told, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. And this is a very wonderful passage of Scripture, for very candidly, it sets before us here in a very definite way the last days when the one who is the stone cut out without hands that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision, and it has dealt an annihilating blow upon this earth. And we're told that after the war of Armageddon is over, that the dead will be strewn, the wreckage of warfare will be there. And that's the picture that's given to us here, and what a picture it is. And the works of God today ought to tell man that there is a God. And now there's peace on earth. And it's now a blessed reality. The king has come and he's put down all unrighteousness that's on the earth. Now will you notice the last two verses? Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, he says, I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. That's God's purpose. And now he says, be still and know that I'm God. We can be calm in time of the storm. By the way, the storms are blowing outside today. You and I are living in a wicked world. It's a mean old world, friends, that you and I are in today. And tremendous things are taking place in the great convulsions of nature today. Now he says, be calm in time of the storm. Be still and know that I'm God. Christ, you remember, was in the storm with the disciples, and he was asleep. He had more trouble calming the apostles than he did calming the storm. And he has a lot of trouble with many of us today because we don't know what it is to wait patiently before him. Well, he's going to be exalted today, and he's called here the God of Jacob, friends. And this fits in to this place. Here is a psalm that'll be a great blessing in the future. It's going to be a time of great blessing, but it's a comfort and a blessing for God's people today. Now we come in Psalm 47 that's before us, and this is a millennial psalm. And again, it continues the praise and the worship. Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awe-inspiring. He is a great king over the earth. You see, he's reigning now on the earth. And in this psalm, we find the praise and worship of the millennial kingdom. And the king now is on the earth, and he's reigning. What a picture that we have here. And what we have here, he is king over all the earth. And as such, he's praised and worshiped. You see, he's going to have to put down all of this rebellion, all of this self-conceit and arrogance of man, and all of the lawlessness. And I'm talking now about lawlessness that's against God today. He'll put it all down, and he will reign on this earth. What a picture that we have here. It's a glorious, wonderful picture, by the way. And we're told here, he will reign and subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. This is the picture that is before us. And he's called here, he shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. Now that hymn, Joy to the World, you see, is not really a hymn that speaks of the birth of Christ. It speaks of his second coming. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, and there's going to be joy on the earth in that day. Clap your hand, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. What a wonderful thing it is. I was preaching not long ago in a church where they clapped their hands, and they were rather vociferous, and someone said to me afterward that was there, said, didn't that disturb you? I said, no, that helped me a great deal, because they were right with me. I think that today, we have what we call reverence today is really deadness. They've got a lot of reverence in a cemetery. Nobody's disturbing anybody or anything. And I think we need a little life today, maybe in our services. Now, will you notice when you come here to the fifth verse, and I'm going to read now another translation here, and you follow your own. God has gone up amid shouting. Jehovah, amid the sound of the trumpet, sing psalms unto God. Sing psalms unto our King. Sing psalms, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing psalms for instruction. God reigneth over the nations. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The willing-hearted of the people have gathered together with the people of the God of Abraham, for unto God belong the shields of the earth. He's greatly exalted. Now, Jehovah is on high, and he's the Most High. He ascended amid shouting. And that means that if he ascended, that means that he made a previous descent. And I think that he came to this earth 1,900 years ago, born yonder in Bethlehem, but he went back in an ascension. I think you have that in Psalm 24. But here, what we have is another ascension. I think he'll come to this earth, establish his kingdom, and be going back and forth to the New Jerusalem. I think that between the New Jerusalem and this earth, there's going to be a freeway that's going to be busier than the freeways in Southern California, with this difference. There won't be any traffic tie-up. You'll be able to move back and forth. That's going to be one of the wonderful things, and I think that's what we have here. He will descend and ascend at stated times during the millennium and display, I think, his visible glory here upon this earth. This is a glorious, wonderful psalm, and we're told to sing praises to him. He's the God of Abraham. Now, there's a nation down here on this earth in the millennium and on through eternity. Now, when we come to the 48th psalm, we have another psalm that belongs to this series. And it's a millennial psalm, and it celebrates Messiah's complete victory. Let me read again from this other translation. Great is Jehovah, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is the Mount Zion, the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God in her palaces hath made himself known as a high tower. And I take it that when it says Mount Zion, it means Mount Zion. And when it talks about the city of God and the holy mountain, we're talking about Jerusalem. And we find here a mention of the sides of the north. That's quite an interesting expression. It evidently speaks of a way of ascent and descent to this earth. And we are told that Satan, that's in the 14th of Isaiah, that Satan, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's the route, apparently. And Satan hoped actually to overthrow God, by the way. And here you have a conflict that reveals the last great battle that'll take place on this earth here. For lo, the kings were gathered together. They passed by together. They saw it and were amazed. They were terror-stricken. They started to flee. I believe that this is actually after the millennium, and when the devil is released for a season and Christ goes forth to drive him forever off of this universe. Now we have a great hallelujah chorus at the end. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of Jehovah of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. This is a wonderful section. You read it for your own instruction. Now, they had heard and read all about this in their prophets, and now, as they had heard, they're seeing the literal accomplishment of it all. That is the promised deliverance that God had down through the centuries been promising to them, and now it's realized. This is a glorious, wonderful psalm. It does have a meaning for us today.
As Dr. McGee mentioned, it's important for us to read these passages on our own. As we go, let's commit to reviewing Psalms 46 to 48 and then reading ahead in Psalms 49 and 50 so that we can prepare our hearts and minds for tomorrow's study. You know, we covered a lot of ground today, so if you'd like to take a bit more time with this section of God's Word, it's available to you at ttb.org/Psalms, or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll tell you about the many creative options that we have for you to purchase all of Dr. McGee's 5-year Bible Bus messages. And for those who'd like to listen to these messages in another language, visit ttbinmylanguage.com. There you'll find Dr. McGee's study available in more than 100 languages. When it comes to death, is there a difference between the poor and the rich? Well, that's what we'll explore tomorrow as the Bible Bus continues its 5-year journey through the whole Word of God. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
To be my own, sin had left a prison stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.